0.73% that we have now to 1.5%. So the second strategic goal is to maintain and increase the relative contribution of our researchers to global scientific output. So this is just measuring the productivity of our researchers. The way to measure this is to have a certain number of researchers in the system that are supported by 2019, and we looked at the number of 22,000 on the basis of the budget that we have and the capacity of the system to have these researchers. And then we also want to increase the number of publications to about 34,000 and the number of articles published with researchers on the rest of the African continent, because we want to make sure that we work with the researchers in the continent in order to develop strong partnerships. And then the third goal is to increase the number of graduates and improve the representativity, as we indicated that on the long term we would like to have a transformed NSI. And we hope to match this by having a number of postgraduate students that are supported, and also some of these students being placed in science, technology and innovation institutions, and also as part of having an informed public on science, technology and innovation issues. We have a certain number of people that we hope to reach through our public engagement program. And then of course we also want to look at how we can increase the number of masters and from the current number to 3 times by 2019. And then the fourth goal is to see whether we can derive a greater share of economic growth from research and development-based opportunities and partnerships. To measure that, we hope by 2019 to have some commercial and industrial financing that comes into the work that we in the system do in order to develop R&D-led industrial development. We hope to attract revenue generated from firms and companies that are or have received support from our initiatives. So in other words, this is companies themselves making money as a result of the interventions that we provide. And then we also hope in the SMME program to have a performance of 10,000 SMME whose performance is improved as a result of our interventions. And then the last strategic goal is to accelerate inclusive development through scientific knowledge, evidence and appropriate technology. And we have 3 proxy indicators to measure that. We want to have decision support that is provided and strengthened and improves the delivery of at least 10 government services and functions drawing on the knowledge from the system. We hope to have contribution of technology-based opportunities for local economic development introduced or strengthened in at least 5 of the distressed municipalities. And then by 2019, opportunities for improving the standard of living of at least 500,000 people in South Africa and 12 communities unblocked through science, technology, innovation. So that's the 5 goals and how we hope to measure ourselves in the next 5 years. So how are the programs of the DST structured? We have a program that is responsible for institutional planning and support. The honorable members and the chair would remember that we have about 92% of the budget that we receive that gets transferred. So we need to make sure that there is proper planning and support for the institutions in order to deliver on the broad policies of the department. And then we have corporate services that is responsible for just running the department. And then we have program 2, technology innovation, and I'll explain a little bit what they do. DDG Moore is responsible for that. International Cooperation and Resources, DDG Dr. Tua, who is not with us today, maybe we'll join us later, and then RDS, Research Development and Support, this is just Research Capacity and Human Capital Development, Dr. Thomas Afterheide, and then Social Economic Innovation Partnerships, Mr. Patel, who is with us. So as I said, Program 1 is just responsible for the overall administration, communication, and stakeholders, further straightforward. And then, as I say, there is this institutional planning, which is responsible for the running of the ministry, the office of the DG. It's responsible for policy planning, governance monitoring and evaluation, risk issues, internal audit, and broader science and public science communication, public engagement. As I said, these are just straightforward corporate services. And then program technology innovation is to enable research and development in strategic and emerging research areas, to promote the realization of commercial products, services, and services from research and development. And then these are the areas that this second program focuses on, and bioeconomy, hydrogen and energy, space science and technology, innovation priorities and instruments, including the management of the National Intellectual Property Management Office. Program 3 is responsible for ensuring that our national system of innovation is connected to the rest of the world, and they do this by exchange of knowledge, capacity and resources between South Africa and its regional and international partners. There are three sub-programs in this program 3. International resources, so they are responsible for bringing resources financially and otherwise into South Africa and for us to access resources that are outside the country. They are responsible for the multilateral cooperation and the rest of the continent. And then, of course, we have specific bilateral cooperation with specific countries, UK, France, Brazil, and others. And then Program 4, as I've said, is for research and knowledge production that promotes the development of basic sciences in some relevant areas. And they do this by promoting science, human capital development, providing such infrastructure and relevant support. They have four sub-programs, human capital and science promotion, basic sciences and infrastructure, and then they have science missions, including astronomy. And then the last program is to enhance the growth and development priorities of government through targeted science technology-based innovation intervention and the development of strategic partnerships with other government departments, industry, research institutions, and communities. There are four sub-programs, sector innovation and the green economy, innovation for inclusive development, science and technology investment, and then tech localization, beneficiation, and advanced manufacturing. These are the entities that report under the Minister of Science and Technology. It's the Technology Innovation Agency, Human Sciences Research Council, Academy of Science of South Africa, CSIR, the National Research Foundation, and the South African National Space Agency. And then we have other entities that are also supportive of the work that we do, the National Intellectual Property Management Office. This is an office that is responsible for assisting public institutions to manage intellectual property. And then the National Advisory Council on Innovation is an advisory structure that advises cabinet through our minister on innovation activities. And then the South African Council for Natural Scientific Professions. They are responsible for the registration and the regulation of the activities of scientists across the system. So what we would like to do now, Honorable Chair, is to give you a sense of the activities that are happening in the various provinces. They are not exclusive, they are not complete, but just gives you a flavor of. In the Western Cape, we have sector innovation funds in agriculture. So these are funds which the department has provided to industry associations that need solutions for their sector. Mr. Patel can talk a little bit more about the sector innovation fund, where we put a land and we ask the industry association to put some money in order for them to then get the research from the institutions or universities that we fund to address the problem. I do know that the fishing industry as well as the wine industry of the Western Cape are receiving some of these funds. The Bioenergy Atlas, this is the work that we've been doing to identify areas within the province where biomass can be converted into energy. So in other words, this is where you produce off-grid energy provision using biomass. We have CRR having an office here, Stellenbosch, HSRC, not far from us, and the Technology Innovation Agencies also. And then there's a program called AgriProtein in Philippi. And then out of the Medical Research Council, we run strategic health innovation partnerships. And this is a program that has identified different health innovation that can help to address some of the diseases that we have. We have an institution in Pinelands called BioVec, which is a state-funded institution with the mandate of developing vaccine capability in South Africa, human vaccine, so that we are not exposed in cases where we need vaccines that the country may need at the time that they are needed. We have a science center in Cape Town. What is this place? Observatory. And then this year we will be hosting the National Science Week in August at the Western Cape. And then the University of the Western Cape, the Natural Reserve, when you enter the University of the Western Cape, there's a pilot fuel cell that is being tested at the moment to produce energy and electricity from this 70% locally developed fuel cell. And then we have local innovation activities as well in the province. In Limpopo, we have a project that is developing essential oils in Kiani, and then we have a science center in Vuani, we hope it's like this. And then we have water accelerated service, water service delivery water project, and then we have a number of agribusinesses that have been developed with communities on Moringa in Dusen village and Lebua Homa. And then we have a number of ICT and service industries that we support in Limpopo. In the Northern Cape, we have the Southern African Large Telescope, Southern Science Center, and then because of the square kilometer array, we have a number of initiatives in Carnarvon, providing bursaries for artisan training, providing undergraduate science bursaries for students. There is a community industry partnership program, and then the mobile science labs and refurbishment at the Sutherland School as well as in Carnarvon. And then, of course, we are providing fiber and cable for SAA sites to local hospitals. In the Free State Science Center in Bloemfontein, we have a technology station at the Central University of Technology. We had the National Science Week in 2014, and we are supporting the observatory in Boyden. This is linked to the University of Free State Physics Department. In KwaZulu-Natal, we have a number of sector and local innovation activities, science center, accelerometer, nurseries for indigenous leaf vegetables, mobile lab, HIV geomapping work with SANAC, and then beneficiation of waste stream, and then these entities also have a footprint there. And then in Mpumalanga Science Center, sector innovation funds in the area of forestry, MLab wireless mesh network, and then in northern northwest, Mafeking Science Center, ITS degree at the University of Northwest. We had a science week last year, and then technology transfer projects on indigenous teas and coffees. In Gauteng, we are investigating the possibility of having a South Africa China Science Park. We support the Cyborg Science Discovery Center, and then there's a Climate Innovation Center, the Innovation Hub, not far from where we are. And then the mobile applications laboratory at the Innovation Hub. And then we have the footprint of these entities. We have innovative building technology project at Eguruleni. And then we have, of course, the fluorochemical initiative at Pelindaba. And recently, the minister launched the forklift that is powered by the fuel cell developed again locally in partnership with Impala Labs Springs. And then we also have a titanium pilot plant at the CSR in Pretoria. And this is a list of the activities that we have at the Eastern Cape. Again, in the interest of time, I will not go through this in detail, except that I should talk about the initiative in Zimbabwe, where we are trying to look at the introduction of ICTs in schools in order to improve the cognitive capability of kids, or to test whether that has any value whatsoever. So now I'm going to move to the activities that we are proposing for 2016 and performance indicators. So I'll go back to the strategic goals that I have. So the first one, to build on previous gains and building a responsive, coordinated and efficient NSI. We are developing instruments to improve our coordination across the NSI. We have a CAP memo already that is ready to be tabled to cabinet on how this can be done. We're looking at analyzing the analysis that support improvements in the functioning and the performance of the NSI. How can we develop indicators so that national system of innovation and the actors there perform better? Interventions and incentive programs to increase private sector investment. This has been identified as one of the major challenges of bringing the private sector closer to the research institutions. sector innovation fund is one instrument, the R&D tax incentive is another one where we're trying to encourage private sector to invest in research and development. And then, of course, we also are using international funds to complement our own investments because we want our system to be linked to the knowledge that is generated elsewhere. And then the minister has a number of initiatives that she has also asked that be done as part of making sure we have better coordinated institution. One of them is to review the science, technology, and innovation landscapes. Landscape, in other words, are the institutions that we have in the system going to be adequate for what we want to do going forward? And then there are a number of initiatives where we're trying to see whether the coordination of public funding can be done. I've already talked about the CAP memo and the work that we're doing with National Treasury. On increasing funding to the NFI, we have finalized or internally, so we'll be taking this process of foreign investment framework that we have finalized into other government sectors. The committee and honorable members are aware that there is a huge task team that is looking at how we can have investment in the country, and we are looking at how we can position ourselves for getting foreign investment directed towards the work that we do. We have a working group with National Treasury to see how we can raise the investment, as I said, from 1.73 to 1.5%. And then we have these separate innovation funds that have been established. The National Advisory Council on Innovation was tasked by the Minister to review the Science and Technology White Paper of 1996 because we are 20 years into that. And then it's also a finalized framework for the NDP Alliance Capital Plan for South Africa. So all of these are activities that are geared towards improving the functioning and the coordination of the national system of innovation. As I said, one of the challenges we have is to find a way in which we can increase the private sector investment, and we have a performance indicator and the target that we want to achieve in order to make sure that we finalize all the applications that we have received and begin to give the industry feedback so that they can continue to invest in R&D. As I said, we would like to have greater funding that we get from our international partners, so we set up a target of approximately 400 million that will come into the system. Strategy goal number two was to maintain and increase the relative contribution of our researchers to the global scientific output, so this is to just build research capacity. And then we have a number of activities here, which again will not go through the details. We are extremely happy about the partnership that we have with our colleagues from DAGT that are looking at creating 125 end-level positions at local universities for a period of 6 years. As you know, that about 30% or thereabout of teaching staff at universities have got PhDs. So we'd like to increase that to an even larger number, so we'll be co-investing to develop this next generation of academics. We would like to finalize the Indigenous Knowledge Systems Bill. I think Cabinet has approved that we go out to consultation on the bill. And then, of course, we want to implement the new Marine and Antarctic strategy. And as you said, Chair, the ship that we're in is part of making sure that we understand what our marine and Antarctic program can help the country, especially in the ocean's economy, but broadly. And then, of course, we continue to invest in the South African Large Telescope, Sutherland, the Meerkat, and the SKA project. So some number of performance indicators, targets. We hope to train about 280 people in the areas of strategic research areas. We would like to provide about 70 research infrastructure grants, and then we hope to publish about 7,000 articles by those that receive funding from the National Research Foundation. And then the third goal of increasing the number of high-level graduates and improve their research. We have a number of initiatives where we'd like to develop high-level representative human capital. We'd like to engage the public, and we have a public engagement strategy on science, technology, and innovation. And then international knowledge and capacity is important in order to make sure that the human capital training program also accesses these facilities. As I've said, the science engagement framework has been finalized and we are now working on a detailed implementation plan. We'd like to increase support to science centers where people can go in and their children to learn more about how science works and affects their lives. And then the Academy of Sciences of South Africa is conducting a study of postgraduate training with engineering focus. And then the study into the size and shape of the emerging researcher cohort, because we'd like them to know where are the challenges and how many are people who need support so we can look at the adequate funding. So some of the goals here is the number of students that are accepted into international training programs. We have a large number of offers for our students to be trained abroad, and we are wanting to send 150 of them. Again, as we have indicated, we want to increase the number of participants in science awareness and engagement programs. The number of PhD students awarded bursaries through the programs that we have at the National Research Foundation. But we also look at the number of pipeline postgraduate students, BTEC honors and master's students that we fund so that we can have large numbers of master's and PhD students. This goal number four is where we want to have a greater share of economic growth from R&D-based opportunities, and we have a range of activities. We facilitate and resource investments in key areas which we have shown here. We're also working very, very hard with the universities and other public institutions to see whether we can have a greater share of research that is translated into commercial products. And then we are working closely with some of the industries, and they are shown here, to see whether the science, technology and innovation can increase their competitiveness and their performance, as well as to work with the Department of Trade and Industry to develop new industries to targeted research and development activities. So these are the activities that we are supporting in this goal. We are supporting initiatives to try and beneficiate our minerals. In titanium, we've just supported a program that is led by the CSIR to develop titanium value-added products, both for the medical industry and most importantly for the larger aerospace industry. We have a program at the Nuclear Energy Corporation of South Africa that is trying to add value to a raw material called fluorspar with huge international export markets. We funded, I think 3 years ago, a multi-purpose fluorination plant. We are now at the stage of evaluating which of these products can generate revenue with the research and the knowledge we have. And then we are working on advanced metals that we're doing in a number of universities. We also have a number of initiatives that are aligned to the Industrial Policy Action Plan. This is work that we're doing on composites, additive manufacturing, and ICTs. And then we support specific sectors that are either wanting to diversify or that need knowledge. And sugar milling in KwaZulu-Natal is one, and I've indicated in the Western Cape is the wine industry as well as some of the fishing industry. And then we have other innovation industry partnerships that we fund. Last week, the minister launched the Biomanufacturing Industry Development Center at CSIR. So we have a number of commercial outputs in designated areas that we hope to get out this year. We are also tracking the number of new disclosures that are being reported by institutions. Now, what this is when a professor or a student or a researcher has an idea that they think can make a product, so they have to disclose this and then it gets protected. So we track the number of disclosures as a means of getting a sense of whether we are going to likely to have an increased number of patents or whether we are going to have an increased number of new products coming from the research. So that's why we're tracking this. And then we fund a number of instruments to support increased localization, competitiveness and R&D-led industry. The importance of localization, as we all know, that if we procure as government certain components, if we can have localization of components that are manufactured locally, we reduce the amount of money that goes out of the country, but hopefully it increases the possibilities of having jobs created in industry. So this is a very important program that we finance and fund, especially supporting small medium enterprises with knowledge that help them to access of the suppliers to large government procurement programs. So we have a number of instruments, and I'm just going to share them with you because we felt that there may be members may not be familiar with this. So We have centers of competence that are trying to develop local capability. I've indicated one that is at the CNR that is looking at whether in the area of airspace and other areas of work that we have identified where large government procurement happens, whether we cannot have local capabilities that are developed in South Africa. We have mobile laboratory South Africa, which is based at the Innovation Hub. And here we provide youngsters with tools, coding, as well as developing mobile applications that help industry. So we have this incubator, which is at the Innovation Hub. Mr. Patel can talk more about this. And then we have specific programs that are technology assistance packages that support targeted sectors that we have identified as important for localization in line with the designations that have been done by the Department of Trade and Industry and Treasury. And then we have Technology Development Grant Scheme for small and medium enterprises. And in certain instances, we provide FEM-level technology assistance packages for small and medium enterprises. And then we have the Science, Engineering and Technology Industry Internship Program. This is a program where, working with industry, we take young graduates who sometimes are not able to get a job, and they spend time in the industry in order for them to get experience for work. And we found that this program has been extremely successful. Around about 60% many of these students end up getting jobs either in the industry, the in or elsewhere, and the large proportion decides to go back to university. We have a number of research and development networks, and then we have decided to set up a number of innovation products, knowledge and innovation products that we are going to measure in this work that we've talked about. Patents. Now, patents are useful measures because if you have patents, in most cases, you then ask somebody to manufacture things under license, so we get very new prototypes. These are proof of concept programs of the ideas, research, technology demonstrators, and packages. So we measure these, and these are the areas where we hope to get some of these innovation products. And again, without going into any details, you just get a flavor on each of these where we hope to get these knowledge products. And then the last strategic goal is the one where we want to accelerate inclusive development, and we have activities that look at the capabilities for sustainable development and the greening of society and the economy. And then we develop knowledge, evidence, and learning tools that inform and influence how science and technology can be used to achieve inclusive development. And then we also work with provincial and rural communities to provide proof of concept on how you can use science and technology for production systems and some interventions that we strategically identified. You remember in the provincial, I had examples of work that we're doing in Kiani, work that we're doing in Lanobuse, as examples of how you can use science and technology and innovation to create new enterprises. So some of these initiatives are what we do. Agro-processing, as I said, small medium enterprises that we are involving in the sanitation technology and technology demonstrators in distressed municipalities. We have initiatives, as I've indicated, in Kofim, where we're providing tablets. We have connected schools in Northern Cape using a cheaper broadband infrastructure in Mpumalanga. And then, of course, we've got this mobile laboratory program and entrepreneurial training program for small-scale farmers. So we have targets here where we want to have 7 decision support interventions that are introduced in order to make our science and technologies used for inclusive development. And these tools include sanitation technology assessment and evaluation tools. We've been informed that a number of municipalities still try to look for sanitation technologies that require water. And therefore, we've been working with the Water Research Commission to look at whether we can evaluate sometimes what municipalities are being asked to introduce sanitation technologies. So this is a tool that we've developed with them. We provided this decision support to the Department of Basic Education, the total cost of ownership model, Then we have a decision support for service delivery municipalities where this corrective action request report scheme is developed. Somebody reports a pothole, goes into the municipality, can do this through a cell phone, and then the municipality know where the problems are. Could have a problem of Ebola in perhaps a dam, and they'll be able to report. So this is something that we do. Special temporal evidence for planning in South Africa so that you use science and technology-based tools for making sure that we have planning. And then we have, with our institutions, developed this tool of which areas are vulnerable and are risky as a result of changes in climate change. So we have these innovation support interventions that are funded, the current and provincial and rural innovation systems. Some of these for the Eastern Cape Regional Innovation Forum and Western Cape Regional Innovation Network. So that gives you a sense of what each of these outcomes and some selected initiatives. With your permission, Honorable Chair Member, let me just quickly take you through the MTF financial resources. We have, as you can see, a relatively constant budget, about 7.5 billion of the MTF, and breakdown is given by each of the programs and how the transfers, and you can see they constitute a large bulk of the money to the institutions that that we support, and this is how the institutes get the budget allocation, with the NRF and the CSR taking larger share, followed by the human sciences and the National Space Agency Technology Innovation Agency, and then the Samsung. These, again, just shows the trend in budget. Again, you can see that the NRF, CSR, TNHFRC received a large share of the budget. So, as you indicate, Honorable Chair and members, and I just want to share just very quickly some of the challenges that we have in the planning of the APP. If you find constraints that I'm sure everyone is familiar with and the worries we have about suboptimal coordination across the SR, we need to know whether even the modest resources that we have are being deployed optimally. But as you know, that we are working fairly closely with Treasury as well as Cabinet to try and address this problem. We also are trying to see whether we can deal with the funding constraints that we have. We do this by working with Treasury to look at whether the discussions at Treasury where they would like to curtail the competitiveness support package is, we provide them with the information in the review that will ensure that the funding that we receive through this program continues to be received. We are also finding better way of making sure that the cost of equipment is budgeted and planned for very, very quickly. Sometimes if you buy at the wrong time because of the weakness of the rand, you can lose money. So this is something that we work with the institutions to try and manage very, very quickly. And then, of course, we are having to comply with a number of areas that government would like us to comply. These things have got costs. And then, of course, we are trying to see whether we can assist in the low economic climate and press business confidence to find mechanisms of getting business to invest in science and technology. I have indicated that we are working with Treasury, but we also try and regularly appraise Cabinet on the challenges that we have. Last year, we presented opportunities that this country could have by investing in the satellite development program. And then, of course, as I've indicated, we hope to motivate for the continuation of the economic competitiveness support package, and then we try and reprioritize where possible. We have engaged with National Treasury for a possibility of a joint committee on funding science, technology, and innovation infrastructure, and we have been working with them on looking at how we can consider having an increase in the cost exponentiality, as I indicated. One of the proposals that we wanted to leave this committee with is the possibility that the equitable share that goes to provinces maybe could target a certain percentage for science, technology, and innovation activities, where maybe provinces could consider having science, technology, and innovation programs are funded by their own portion of the allocations, because we believe we have demonstrated that there are improvements in the economic and social side of lives of the people that can be improved. But we don't have any budget. And we won't be asking the budget to come to us, but we'll be asking the budget perhaps to be topsized as part of growing the budget. So this is an idea, and again, we thought we'd just flag it here, and you can tell us to go away, because it would never work, but we thought we should give it a try. And then, as I say, there are other initiatives where we look at getting international funding, and we are grateful that recently there's been an announcement on new funding with the UK, and there is new funding that we have received from IRCAT, from the EU, and then, as I said, we are working on a possible foreign investment match fund from the group that is looking at investments, but we also continue to look at our own instruments of getting multinational companies to invest out in South Africa. We have had an input which we hope the Auditor General probably discussed with yourself on the assessment on IAPP, so we just thought that we would share this with you in terms of what they would like us to improve on and what are the things that they are happy with. They are happy that our indicators are following the SMART principle, and then they have also alerted us to a few emerging risks that we need to take cognizance of. So in concluding, then, Honourable Members, Honourable Chair, we are hopeful that we will be, or we are responding to the NDP, and we are responding to the MTSF, and we continue to think about how we can align even better with the national development and going forward. This plan, we think, is in line with the broader implementation of our five-year strategy plan, and sometime this year we'll be reviewing the progress we've made in the implementation of the strategy plan, and if there are any changes that we have to do, when we come and share with the committee next time, we'll indicate where the adjustments need to be made. And then, of course, we are aware of the global and national economic realities, and we, on an ongoing basis, do reprioritization of budgets, and we are trying, of course, to make sure that the national system of innovation continues to deliver in a much more improved and coordinated way. So that's the presentation, Honourable Members and Chair. And the DDGs with me have agreed that today they will answer all the questions, so I've done my
thing. Very much, DG, for a very good presentation. We really appreciate it. I'm going to allow the members to post questions, but before I'm going over, I want to compliment you on the theme of the province's equity, equitable shares of a percentage, because of the work that you are doing in the province. And I know, serving in the Western Cape legislature, there was always a pressure from our committee side for science and technology, that the emphasis was always on it, to increase the education to science and technology. I did visit previously the Stellenbosch and the work that they are doing there. I'm going to go back to buy friendly. Why not? We will get it cheap there, I told you. But nevertheless, great work that you people are doing there. And I cannot imagine science and technology work. Without science and technology, you cannot run a government. I mean, so important it is in all sectors. The question that I'm going to pose is on the draft. What role do you play to assist government, seeing that we are dealing with this drought problem in the areas? Obviously, your clever people will come up with some kind of solutions how we can deal with it. Knowing that we don't have a lot of money, but the budget constraints of government. The other one is, I know that Vodacom last week, they invited agriculture and mineral resources to it. We couldn't attend, but I luckily when called, I was able to go there for a few minutes. Anyway, I don't know who that person was, but he gave me a card, but nevertheless, he just checked. He told us about this new system that they want to use. They already use it in here to fast track and to, like, coordination or identify problems within the agricultural space. He's saying the system is going to work like that. You can, when you put in my name, and I own a farm, and it will immediately show the farm what kind of farming you're doing. It can assist you with the technology. I don't know what you call it. Is it true that you are the, you in mind the same in it, or what is it different from that one? Thank you. I'm going to allow the honourable members to ask questions. Honourable Sapahu, Honourable Singh, Honourable Smith, Honourable Horsi, you don't want to question. Okay, thank you. Okay. Thank you, Nicole.
No, thank you very much, Honourable Chair. Thanks for the presentation. Really welcome. I know you are operating under a shrinking purse of our state, but probably taking South Africa forward. I think my question will be on the innovation. You were talking of the indigenous tea and coffee in North Africa. And I'm thinking sharply of North Africa. I grew up in a village called Mokola, if you go towards Gaborone from Zest. There used to be Okoli in Fini, Utopi. Those elderly people used to do coffee with that. But I'm not aware exactly where this indigenous tea and coffee maybe that I'm talking of, and to what extent is it benefiting the community and the surrounding community at large. And the second one is also, you mentioned the Buakom with the Moringa project. That's maybe another one, I think. Nowadays we do see it in chemist and another shop in the form of a liquid. I'm not sure whether the Wakomo is perhaps producing that in bulk and also doing processing what we are seeing in these cells, even around the Cape Town. Are they supplier, are they in the market? Meaningful change of the lives of the community because of all what they are producing. Yeah, maybe the last one for now will be the funding challenge. And then we'll be having some fun in the UK or everywhere in Europe. Is it a donation or is it in the form of perhaps a loan? If it is a donation, are you not stressed? Are they not tempting any sugar bites as a donors? Say, okay, we want you, but there will be some conditions that will be attached to that. Are those conditions not perhaps impeding some of your progress towards achieving your goals? Chair, let me pause now.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Honourable Singh.
hydrogen.
I would like to welcome the presentation. I think made by the department, quite a comprehensive one. As I think prior to my coming here this morning, just being the chairperson mentioned that we met some of your researchers and scientists on the weekend, and we were very impressed with the kind of research being done in the seas and the environment. That gave us a good insight of what your department is funding. On item 19 on your slide, to increase the number of high-level graduates and improve the representative. We fully support that. We'd like you to share with us on how is your, what your program to increase the number of high-level graduates. Well, you to share with us that, what your plans and how you intend doing that. As well as your programs that you might have at high schools, so that we could encourage learners at that age or that level to start judging the subjects they want to take and so forth, because that's the time when you really want to decide on a career.
Thank you, Chairperson. I will kick off by exactly the point that Honourable Singh made, and I made it last year when we were sitting in the presentation as well. The role of Department of Science and Technology in terms of stimulating, especially our previously disadvantaged communities, to make sure that they actually get access to become part of this market of scientists and researchers and so forth. I mean, if you go into deep villages, you know, rural communities, there's no science labs. There might not even be a mathematics teacher for that matter, you know, which is also part of science, because obviously if you can't do mathematics, you know, then you can't go into science. And I think that yes, the answer was last time that your responsibility is to basically develop it from almost tertiary level and making sure that the innovation and all that. But I feel that this department can play a much bigger role in ensuring that we stimulate that at the level which we want it to be stimulated. Because it's the same crowd of people constantly getting the access to those opportunities. Because they're privileged to go to schools that have got the facilities. And I'm coming back to the point of mobile labs that can be used, you know, to move around in different provinces. And science and technology engaging with different, because that's, I think that's where cooperative governance actually comes in, is the cooperation between not only levels of government, but also the different departments, and engaging with basic education on this and ensuring that is brought into it. The second point I want to make is in terms of small business development. Because, yes, we developed this technology. There's now the question of Honorable Safago that's asking, you know, the Maringa that was, you know, it's indigenous knowledge and the indigenous product. But at the end of the day, you know, you're going to have businessmen who's already, you know, having the funding, that's going to take this and run with it.
small business development, the department is responsible for ensuring that small businesses comes in, and also ensuring that that goes up. I mean, we can extend it to Marula, and we can extend it to, you know, a lot of these different, I don't know what you call it in English, basics, what do you call it? Yeah. You know, different, you know, I grew up on a farm, so I learned, you know, you can eat this and you can use this and, you know, all these type of things. And there's all those knowledge and all those things amongst communities, poor communities, and they don't realize that they can actually generate the income from that through using it, and maybe there's potential for even extending towards different products from the same items. Thank you.
picking up on Modeli and the work that you've been doing in incubating some of the poverty alleviation, the work that in Sayobi and getting incubators and talking about the work that relates to that. And then I will try, because Thomas is not here, to talk about the human capital development program that have been asked by Honorable Chair. I'm not sure whether I will be able to give you the details of the balance between women and men. We may not be able to give you the steps today, but we can share with you the programs that I think we are putting in place in order to give the balance. But in writing, we can give you the breakdown. And then I will also talk about the response to Honorable Singh on the graduates' increase, how we're planning to do that, as well as the high school program. And that would also link to Honorable Smith's issue around PDI, previously disadvantaged. And then I will also link that to the partnership with, so I'll basically deal with the human capacity type of questions. And then I'll ask Honorable Sylvie Tomi to deal with the issues of the legislative program for the year. And I will try to respond on the entities value for money approach. So if the Honorable Chair is happy with that approach, may I then invite Honorable Morfe, Officer Morfe, to start, followed by Mr. Patel, Tommy, and then I will deal with the human capacity and the value for money, and then...
answer the question about the grey. No, I have a problem with grey. I don't want to be grey. Do you have any research with
this? Thank you so much, DG and honorable members. Just somebody just respond to a couple of questions, firstly on the issue of drugs. Through the state agency, we are also able to do the monitoring of water levels in depth, which actually also help in terms of the planning with various municipalities. So that is really just one of the contributions that we do through the space agency. But also the DG has reflected on the programs around developing some drought-resistant crops. I think any honourable members might be aware that as from next year, there will be an introduction of new seeds for drought-resistant maize. This was a program that was involving a number of African research organizations, which include our own Apache Research Council. So they have now finally been able to come up with a drought-resistant maize that will be introduced next year. We have made various contributions scientifically to this, which includes the issues of biosafety and biosecurity, because we develop a new crop variety also to look at how that is going to impact on the integrity of the genetics and the environment of other crops. So that is really one of our contributions. So in addition to maize, we also know that we are a growing consumer of wheat products. But on the other hand, we actually import the bulk of that wheat. So we are now also working on a wheat raising program that will also enable us to have local crops in wheat that will actually be grown locally, looking at, again, issues of both water and pest resistance. We add to that also soy, which is also part of made for our diet. We now include some of the crops that we make. So the three perhaps very important crops are being considered in terms of how we can find ourselves prepared in dealing with drought. Understanding that even without the drought, South Africa is a water scarce country. So we probably need to really look at that, especially if we're going to increase the land under cultivation. There was a question made around the coffees and the cheese. This relates to the work that we're doing in the Northwest Province. One of the slides, the DGF indicated that we actually have an academic program in international systemic space at the Northwest University, which is a very unique program in the rest of the continent, and one of the few globally, because we do have countries like China and India that are quite advanced in this area. So what we then do is we look at existing knowledge and how it was used. So even though I will not be able to individually pinpoint exactly which village those teas and coffees are coming from, what we do is we identify the so-called knowledge holders. And these are typically communities because the knowledge that they've been using for over the years. And we take them through a process of them understanding that this knowledge that is going to be exploited belongs to the community. And hence, even as the research around that is undertaken, there are agreements with communities that are signed and trusts that are established for the benefit of communities, and work very closely with the Department of Environment, because that's making the biodiversity management useful with the Department of Environment. And when we do research and commercialization does happen, so those communities that do benefit in terms of their own trust. Linked with that is also the question of Moringa and project that we have in the Wahom. So what we're doing is looking at scientifically how to grow Moringa, when you grow it, when it's growing, how do you actually manage the process, for example, of fertilizing, the process of harvesting, etc. And the main, most important thing is you don't want to buy a Moringa product here today, and when you go to the same producer, you buy a Moringa product, case and fish, and you want it to be, to have all those particular characteristics that you want to grow for. So that's really the process of us bringing the scientific input into the whole process. And in the Wahom, we have actually now finalized the agro-processing facilities, which is also going to help them after harvesting how they are going to store and package their products. So that's really at farm level. And then we go further to look at the various active ingredients in a plant. And this is the process where now the biomanufacturing industry development center is CSR Council, where we begin to look at using the active ingredients to fortify certain food products. So, and again, the bulk of the people that are being supported will either be your young people, your women who are quite involved in the communities. And you know, in that instance, you are able to see, I mean, one of the products that have been supported in this particular manner is now in big retail shops, at Pick and Pay shop, right, without marketing, you know, a product called Enzima is actually one of the lines of the products that has been fortified through Moringa products. And again, when you look at the people that are employed in those facilities, it's mostly young people and women. And then we got very similar processes and project in that regard as well. So I think in terms of just reflecting on IKS and the work that we do and who benefits, that's basically it, unless DGR or something.
Thanks, Vijay. Let me address myself to a few issues. And on drought, what had happened is that the science community themselves have organized themselves effectively to provide support, led by or coordinated by the WRC. It includes the ARC, CSR, etc. So they meet things together to look at different aspects of how to support drought. And the first is obviously if people better understand what's the impact, where's the impact, etc. And we have, you know, whether it's satellite data or we have information, they've been able to look at how is it that we get this information to people. It's clearly more difficult for small-scale farmers than large farmers. I mean, many of the large farmers buy these products. They have a sense of these small-scale farmers. So that's the first thing that has been done. But in addition to that is to look at where the opportunities to address themselves to the plant, whether it's through new crop varieties or better use of water. So these things are happening in a range of cases that we're aware of, and whether this can be scaled up, obviously yes, but it's always the case that it's about number of people and resources that are available. In terms of SME development, the question that was raised is this is a big focus area for the DSD in the current strategic plan. Because we have a whole range of initiatives that try to support the SME sector in different ways. So in a sense, there are many, many community-based organizations. They are entrepreneurs at community levels who are taking advantage of indigenous crops. I mean, for example, I was not aware of this, so we had the PIDC launch when in Northern Cape someone saw, masses of Kalahari melon that is just not taken advantage of, and found that if you can you can't eat the melon because it's bitter, but you can use the extracts to assist with people who are suffering from skin, dry skin as an example. So there's a lot of entrepreneurs, and the big role for us is how do you support these entrepreneurs with technical support. So that's the approach we use in one respect. We acknowledge that there are people out there who have ideas, we don't have to find them. They need a place to take ideas forward. So we've introduced things like the biomanufacturing industry development center that actually handholds these SMEs and provide them with support, etc. As an example, another example, which is PIDC, but then I won't use another PIDC example, is Moringa. It's not only about supplying Moringa in bulk, but how do you take Moringa and put it in other products. That's a seedle as an example. Now there's science involved in that, you just can't mix the two things together. So that's the kind of initiatives we have. Technology stations, we have 18 of these stations based at universities, technologies, where it's a walk-in service. People come in and they just go and say, I have this issue. And depending on the kind of client they are, if they're repeat clients, we start charging them. If they're new clients, they get a service for free underwritten by the DSD. And these things have been operating for 10, 15 years, and we support about 2,000 SMEs on an annual basis. And it ranges from chemicals to product development to electronics, etc. So we have these kinds of activities around SME development. But in addition to this, and taking your point about, are there untapped opportunities that with a bit of science and technology we can take advantage of? What we found is in the past we were doing this, we had ideas with CSR, say, let's look at the essential oils, etc. And we started projects like this, but they don't make a big difference in a big scheme of things. What you need is big intervention. So recently what we've done is we've been working much more closer with COPTA and with local development agencies. And the key thing that we think will unlock in future years a lot of these kinds of activities is to build innovation more strongly in local economic development plans. When we were working with these agencies responsible for local economic development plans, the LED frameworks were very weak on innovation. And now they're working with us to look at how is it that we introduce very specific mechanisms, so it doesn't matter. Every local economic development plan will be able to think about innovation opportunities. Once those plans begin to introduce science and technology, they can then run the DSD or the province, etc., to help them support particular activities based on what they have locally, and if their local strengths, is it agriculture, is it small manufacturing, etc. So that's the future strategy. We continue our work on pilots, but we're using that experience to get innovation embedded a lot more stronger in the local economic development frameworks, and then hopefully a select committee like this can assist in monitoring and your engagement at the province by province level. Are different provinces taking advantage of, and if they're not, then you can always interact with them and give them examples of the other people that use successfully science and technology and what they can learn from others. So that's quite happening. And then DG, the last comment I want to address, which you didn't ask me to do, is schools. What are we doing to encourage more interest in science and technology? I think, yes, we always have this issue that more needs to be done and DSD needs to be involved, but we've been working very closely with DBE over the past 3-4 years, and there's a much more greater acknowledgement. There's going to be a STEM strategy report that was done that's coming out. If you look at what is happening in Gauteng as an example, which I and other provinces need to possibly consider, is this concept of schools of specialization, as an example. Let's just launch one. So in a sense, ESP can assist, but unless you structure your entire education system towards science and technology in a big way, we're not necessarily like that. And I'm quite confident that that is happening. If you just look at what we have done, and we've worked very closely with DBO on this, we support, we have the whole operation particular on ICTs in education. That's beginning to happen. There's schools of specialization that's coming around. There's the expansion of the Dinaledi schools, as an example. So all of these efforts, I'm a lot more confident now that in the next couple of years, we would see a lot more stronger drive and push towards science technology becoming part of the curriculum. And we will assist wherever we can around those to make sure that where there's talent, we pull that talent into scientific careers as best as we can. So thank you. Those are some of the questions.
Thanks. Just to add to what Dili Imran was saying with regards to math and science education, I think Honorable Smith asked the question, and I think it was more a comment around mobile labs. We do have those, for example, in the Eastern Cape. We don't only have a science center, but we do have a mobile lab that goes into those rural communities. And there's a schedule if you go to the website of that specific science center. Similarly, where you're coming from in Limpopo, at Kiani, there's a mobile science center that's linked to the science center that is in Kiani, and another one that is in Wani in the northwest, because the one that was supported the university was capturing the fees for school. We now provide a mobile science center that is assisting learners in the rural communities. Similarly, the Western Cape, Honorable Chair, where you're coming from, the science center and observatory has a mobile science center that goes out to deep rural communities to do exactly what you were referring to. And it's the same with Mpumalanga, it's the same with KZN, the science center that's at UNISULU, and another one which is at the University of KZN. The last question, Dija, I think it was in relation to the legislature program. It's the three bills that are under consideration. The first one is the IKS one. I think the committee is processing that one currently in the Portfolio Committee of Science and Technology. And then is the Science and Technology Laws Amendment Bill. And the last one is the NRF Amendment. Thanks.
Thanks to the TDG. So maybe let me start with one of the questions that Honorable Sefako asked about the funding and the conditionalities that come with the funding that we receive from international partners. We only receive funding if it's going to strengthen what we do. For instance, at the moment, we are targeting philanthropic organizations, the Bill and Melinda Gates and USAID funding, but those funding instruments are being used to strengthen what we do. If we feel that there is an agenda which is not aligned with the broader South African agenda, we walk away broadly. For instance, the UK fund for research chairs is a joint program where researchers from the UK in the university and here can have an exchange program. So it's a benefit on both sides. The bilateral agreements are also in the same way with EU funding is effectively the same. Our scientists have access to partners in Europe and then they join to do the research, and then we have a South African law that guides the intellectual property that is generated from this funding and research agreements. And then the second point was on Honorable Singh that relates to how do we increase the number of graduates. Generally, what we have done, we're doing three things at the moment. The first one, we've conducted or we've asked Stellenbosch to conduct research as to why are we finding a bottleneck or back and previously disadvantaged students not going into postgraduate, and they have provided us with the report. And we are not surprised of the findings. The first finding is that most of the previously disadvantaged individuals are the first generation of going into the university. So when they complete their undergraduate studies, they are not able to go to postgraduate unless we give them full bursaries. So this is a proposal, for instance, that we are taking to Treasury to say you can increase the numbers, but the quantum of the funding that we give has got to be of this amount for people to be attracted into postgraduate. The second one relates to making sure that the minister has just provided the NRF with the guidelines on the bursary allocations and their targets in terms of women, in terms of previously disadvantaged individuals that would receive bursary funding from the NRF. So I think these two instruments in our view are going to help to start changing, I think, the demographics. And then of course we work fairly closely with the NRF as a third to make sure that those targets are met, and then we make sure then that we get the reasons why this fails. And then in terms of the high school program, we have a dedicated program which we call Youth into Science Strategy, which is run in program form. And these are probably programs that are not necessarily designed to be curriculum support related, but is out of curriculum support activities. For instance, we support young girls and we take them to camps during summer or winter seasons, or we provide science centers with material to excite young people about science and technology activities. All of the science centers that are showed on the diagram in various areas are being supported by the DST with a number of programs as well as volunteers in order to, but I would then say, I also say that the point that Imran talked about, that we have a partnership with the Department of Basic Education where they have identified things that we as a Department of Science and Technology we can have with. So we share the work that we're doing with the science centers, we share the work that we're doing with Mobile Lab, we share the work that we're doing in introducing ICTs in schools, and the program that we have in Ofimbaba. There's another program, another pilot, which we have in Mkanya Mute in KZN, where again we're trying to see whether we can use the internet for people to get internet-based programs that are helping schools or with math and science. So I think we have this whole Youth into Science program and the partnership with Basic Education, recognizing that we don't have full mandate, but what are the expertise that we can provide in this area. And then the penultimate question, I'll say at this point in time, Honorable Chair, your question of the breakdown of women in HDR, we can provide you the written steps in terms of the breakdowns. But what we do know is that the number of women researchers, the number of women postgraduate students in black, we are not happy with the balance. That's why, for instance, on postgraduate, we are dealing with the issue of bursaries. At a research level, you would know that last year the minister asked, for instance, the NRF to do two things. When she made the determination that there would be 20, we ended up with 42 research chairs that were dedicated to women. We subsequently established, working with the NRF, that there is a large cohort of women researchers, for instance, in the institutions that do not apply for funding at the NRF. So we are now working with the NRF and the universities to try and understand the extent of the problem of these women researchers who do not seem to get funding so that they can improve themselves. So we are still trying to understand how big the problem is, and then once we know, we then look at the current interventions we have and then begin to say, are they going to be adequate for the extent of the problem, or we need to be looking for additional resources. But as I say, if needs be, this is an area where we can provide with the detailed statistics. But at the highest level, I do know that we're sitting at around 40% of women researchers as compared to men. And this, I'm told, is we are in the top three in terms of women researchers. But of course, we still want to do more, and that's why we have these targeted interventions. And then the difficult questions of value for money. We measure this research through a number of initiatives. The first one is that we are always happy when our entities get unqualified audits and they get clean audits. So last year, to remind me that I think almost all of our entities got unqualified or at least clean audits. So that's the first measure that the money is being used. Of course, the question that the Honorable Chair asked is, you know, that money is being funneled in the right area and are we getting return on it? Our view is yes, and the way we monitor this is at two levels, as the Honorable Chair and other members know. The first one is that when they submit their annual performance plan and their strategic plans, those have got to be approved by our minister. And in those plans, there are targets that are set. And like all of us in government, we would then expect that the resources have been used to deliver on the targets that we, together with minister, have agreed upon on the basis of the resources they have. And then the other monitoring mechanism is when we monitor this through where they share the annual reports and how they perform. And then, of course, the committees, yourselves, and the Portfolio Committee on Science and Technology also look at whether, and then the third way in which we measure this is that, of course, we invest in research, but we also see whether that research is informing policy and is it absorbed by government, where government is the recipient or it helps the private sector. And we measure on the basis of the indicators that we designed whether indeed the knowledge funds itself in supporting decisions supported. We have shared some of the examples of the work that we do. Honorable Chair, unless there is one that I think we have left, the Vodacom tool, I'm not familiar with it, but we'd be more than happy to understand understand it in this system. If something would be more than happy. So if maybe you'd like to give us the name of the person, we'd be more than happy to engage with them. So the two things, if the Chair agrees, is the breakdown of the stats for women and previously disadvantaged, and then on the Honorable Safaibo, if we can probably get the exact location of the village, we'd be more than happy through a letter to you, Chair, just to give you exactly what is program on the IKS in the village in Northwest on the D's, where it's happening. Yes, the question of the Chair, Marine and Antarctic Research. yeah, thank you very much. Now, on the marine side, you know that we are likely, or in fact have the largest part of our South Africa being oceans. And we have been informed that our oceans play a very, very important role in understanding climate, the global climate. So it means South Africa had a laboratory whereby understanding what's happening on the east coast and the west coast, we can provide and contribute to the global knowledge of the understanding of how the oceans are controlling the weather in general and what changes that happen on our marine have an impact on the global level. So as global citizens, this is an area which we have identified and we would like to provide funding so that we play that role. But second role is that we have a lot of resources on the marine. So we need to know what those resources are and how we should sustainably exploit those resources, whether it's oil, whether it's fish, or any other resources that we might have. And this is work that we're doing as part of supporting and modern conditions in the sea that we as a result of the changes in the climate. And the CSIR is doing wonderful work at this point to try and understand. And then we have a national facility, I suppose, is the one that is hosting you. This is called SAI, but I hope it's called SAI, that is having buoys and instruments that they put on the oceans in order to understand the conditions and the implications that it have on the fish resources, for instance. So that's why we have to do that. And the Antarctic side is also where the signatories of the countries that have agreed that they would like to do research in Antarctica to preserve Antarctica, but to also understand how, for instance, I do know that when we had a problem of an ozone layer, we had to go to Antarctica to understand what is the original status of the ozone layer, because it's a pristine environment which has not been affected by human activity. And then we use that as a baseline to then do research of how we can restore the ozone layer in order for us to be protected from the radiation from the sun. So we therefore in South Africa have invested in Antarctic research because it also provides a unique area where you can do research that provides understanding of you know, how the Earth system works that cannot be done in any part, and therefore it makes sense that we invest in research capability in those areas. So that's what these strategies are broadly trying to do, but the benefits that we will have as a country. Thank you. No, thank you very much, Honorable Chair. You remember last time I asked version somewhere. We are referring by one, because this committee is a sister committee to our committee that dealing with environmental culture, land and all. Chair, this good work that is done by the department, honestly speaking, is not well known in the community. So advocacy, maybe I'm collectively as a member of government and the organs of civil society, more outreach program than we need to be at least where we can maybe also while having outreach program be able to invite these 2-3 from our side as we go all out, because indeed, but I was impressed while deep in the ocean, having 2-3 young boys and young girls. This is a PhD, one coming from deep rural area in Taung, and then the other one was somewhere from Limpopo, Eastern Cape. They have broken the stereotypic mind that science, that fear that science is for particular people of perhaps certain color. It knows no bounds. Most of them were doctors. We are addressing doctors, but we make it very clear to them. We are addressing you and we are doctors without borders, because we are seeing we are only sheep going all over. We were here, the special honorable members, irrespective of whether we have been to school or not. But we really appreciate it. So the point that I'm making is that indeed this wonderful information and a lot of untapped potential, if you get into the issue of the ocean, Pakisa, ocean, all the Pakisas, but this one of the ocean has got a lot of the untapped potential, of course. Minerals, oils, fish, as I've mentioned, quite a number of them. But to say the information that is in our research, how can it be translated into to add value in terms of the growing, fast growing economy? Because there is that potential, but the how and the when plays a very, very important role. I know it needs a lot of funding, but that also, I think it needs to be considered, say, okay, we are looking at how much to make sure that indeed we, given this cost containment, what is it that could be done? Because that information is the power that can empower South Africa for a faster economic transformation. But the question, that is not a question, it's just a comment. The question that I was asked by in that ocean, we have seismologists that can be able to say in South Africa the challenge is earthquakes and whatever. Or also these sinkholes, if you take the one in Northwest, a still contain, will be told as a tourist all of a sudden find yourself swallowed by the earth, being in the edge of. And that the scene forecasted, say, watch out in this particular highway, there is that potential, the possibility of even in other areas, if it includes this traumatic area, prisoners have tried to explain that three people that are even now in the future, in the experience of the mines, technology in South Africa that can assist where we are in the challenge of that nature. So I remember Mary Roberts sometimes went to visit Chile where they managed to rescue the people of that. But here in at home, domestic, government, this partnership, public, private partnership, you know, taking the challenge and say, okay, money will come later. Let us focus in rescuing maybe the community or let's say human life. I'm just making this noise, but I think it can make sense. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Mema. I'm going to give over to you a response, because I'm going to forget this one. While you were raising this, the challenge of the students who cannot do it, mask or whatever, over a lesson. The program of the health department, of the doctor sending to Cuba, I'm just thinking, maybe to help with the transformation, agenda to transform that area. Can we look at maybe a place, I don't know where, or something similar like that, where we can save our children knowing that they don't have the money to go and get and go and study. We will never be able to go there. We are still sitting with this problem after how many years. And I was just thinking when the minister yesterday again addressed the NCOP referring to that program, where other parties was, I'm not being political, just saying negatively respond to that program. And when he explained the reason why, it, for me, it's a thing that we must look at. Because we will struggle, like you were saying, our people will never be able to have that experience of that kind. So maybe there is a place where we also can do some programs and send our people where people can train our people and come back, not as qualified like we wanted to, but at least can take the next space to develop themselves further. The other thing is, like SAFS, we had a study group meeting where we spoke about the role of the private, the state-owned companies is to transform sectors in economic and whatever. But I mean, they were saying, if SAFS was not there, we would start with black pilots. Because if we, it was private companies owned SAA Express, they will never put so much money to develop previous advantage people to become pilots. And you know, looking at it, it makes sense. So we must look at other areas, how we can manage to deal with the past, to bring the people on board. Thank you. Over to you, Honorable Speaker.
Thank you, Chairperson. I mean, we can't challenge the fact that that this department is doing very well. And each year when we sit here, you know, we hear the work done is well. But it's also our responsibility as members of Parliament to challenge the department to do even more and to reach out to space and to think out of the box, you know. And that is why I'm saying, you know, because I keep on hearing the same old, you know, we keep on, it's that this mobile science labs, that's relevant to universities. I'm talking about high schools. I'm talking about even primary schools, where science starts off, where it gets dispersed. I mean, I had the privilege to have science from a young age, and I took it until I finished school. But the matter of the fact is, those schools out there without that, a mobile, and that's why I raised that last time, it is necessary to actually push the education with that, but there needs to be some role with science and technology to make sure that that innovation reaches out there. I will be happy the day if you go into every school, every library, every community center throughout South Africa, in the most rural area, and you find a poster there that says, do you have an innovative idea? This is how you can contact the Department of Science and Technology. This is how you can access this information. And as the Honourable Safari said, outreach programs, actually going out there, because there is people with potential, and they don't get seen, they don't know how to access it, they don't know how to actually come. And if we just give them that opportunity to actually contribute, I mean, that's why we want a nation of entrepreneurs, we want a nation of innovative people, and we've got them out there, but they don't get the opportunity because they don't know how to reach it. And access, you know, and the cost factor and all of this. So we need to get out there and get to them. Thank you.
Thank you very much for that. And if you want to respond, go to
the wall. Yes. Thanks, Chair. The two gentlemen want to keep stars. But Honorable Safako, I'm going to ask Tommy to talk about the public engagement program, which addresses, I think, broadly, your outreach program together with the issue that has just now been raised by Honourable Smith and how we want to do it differently going forward, over and above what we do, so that everyone firstly is aware of the DST and the entities programs, but also begin to understand what we can offer and what the entities can offer. I am happy to ask Mr. Patel, Honourable Safago, to talk about the program that we have on seismologists and earthquakes and the work that is being done, not necessarily by an entity that reports to our department, but a partnership that we have with the Council for Geoscience. I think we will start to think about this SOC program. I think that what we have asked our international colleague, Dr. Dantibar, to look at designing a program to meet the MDP harvest. We're not going to be able, no matter how much we do, to be able to ramp up four times the number of PhDs that we produce in South Africa. We need to expand research capacity, which might take a portion of that, but we will have to send students abroad. And I think we're working on a program that will then enable us to place some of the students, South African students abroad. People have been talking about a program like EOC, Fulbright type program that we had before in partnership with NGOs and others. So I think at an appropriate time, once that's been finalized, Honorable Chair would be more than happy to talk about that. And then, so Mr. Tommy on the public engagement program and how it's going to be addressed, and then maybe Mr. Patel on the, and then I'm happy to share one of the things that we're doing to share the data. Honorable Sefako on the part of the Oceans Work for Research, which is basically a program we've engaged with the private sector to share data. Because they also go to the sea to find out what's there. We also do the same, and then we wanted to, I think there's an agreement that has already been signed with the Petroleum Association private sector, where we've agreed on a framework on how we can share data.
Thanks, Honorable Chair and Honorable Smith. Definitely, by clarifying the science setup that we spoke about, the mobile net, it's a very structured program. They are linked with the universities because we use student land agreements and send to those universities, in particular to target the high schools that you are referring to, the primary schools that you are referring to. So that's the connection. The second area with regards to the public engagement, I think the in the presentation indicated that this year in particular we finalized the implementation plan of the public engagement strategy, and it will talk to some of those activities. And linked to that is some of the exhibitions that we do to showcase to those learners what about Sesago in those rural communities. For example, when we were in Riggs in the first day, we had all our entities showcasing careers that are available in science, technology, and innovation. Similarly, 2 weeks ago, we were in the Inherent Cape in Sunlight, where all our entities are in showcasing the work that they do through an exhibition that was hosted, including the work that we're doing at the Science Center in the Northern Cape. And then with regards to advocacy at a higher level, there are two initiatives that were started. The one is called Ideas That Work, which was started by the CSIR. It's a marketing, communication, and advocacy campaign. They've rolled out the first phase. In the next few months, they will be rolling out the second phase. And it profiles all these initiatives that we're talking about. And the second one is known as Sansi for Science, which we intend to implement by June, July. Again, it's a marketing, communication, and media campaign. And we acknowledge that under tight financial circumstances, what we've done, we've put all the resources of all the entities into this campaign. We will market all the activities that we're doing, including, of course, the posters that Honorable Smith referred to, which we normally utilize our own science centers. There's close to 30 science centers around the country where we can utilize for this activity. Thanks, DG.
Just two comments. DG did highlight that the responsible agency that's playing a big role in terms of understanding both sciences is the Council for Geosciences. We have been working with them because there's been a challenge in terms of the maintaining their capacities and their equipment, etc., taking into account the new developments. So recently, through reports that we did, we've been able to assist them to make an argument for improving some of their kind of infrastructures. But we also, like mentioned earlier, you see international is quite a strong focus, and we have a very specific project with the Japanese, where they are sharing their ideas and the technologies with our on-seismology, because they deal with these things at a much bigger level than we have. So we do tap into, in terms of the earlier comment, into international partnerships where it makes sense for us. Just a second comment, DG, because I see the share highlights of the Skidon Enterprise, and I didn't think about it, so I want to take this opportunity to do that. We've been recently working with the Skidon Enterprise effectively as part of the strategy that the DG highlighted on how to get to 1.5%. There's two big dimensions. One is the provinces. Can they begin? Can you start monitoring how much we invest in science? They are investing in. We need to begin to understand how much weight is going into, etc., and what are the opportunities to increase it. Similarly, as part of your mandate, you may want to consider doing the same with the state-owned enterprises. The signals that are coming out from the state-owned enterprises are very good. Not, for example, they are now spending more time on artisan training, but they've also started looking at how is it that an enterprise can do a lot more in terms of science and technology. As an example, Transnet has now set up a kind of a multi-million rand partnership with the CSR, where they have a joint facility, and I think if you're part of your planning for the year, you may want to visit it. It shows very concretely how Science Council is working with the state-owned enterprise to enhance it. Similarly, I've been told that the NAL and others, as part of the whole complex, they are including specific targets and measures around R&D spend. I didn't know this, and I haven't even shared this with the teacher, but the previous target was 5% of revenue needs to go into R&D. It's those kinds of initiatives that's going to help us have a lot more funding, which will then serve to attract young people, because people will see that there's opportunities to pursue scientific careers. So the system is coming together. We need to accelerate it, but the signals are very positive that different players, provinces, state-owned enterprises, Department of Basic Education, other line function departments, private sector, we are beginning to take hold of this need for us to use science and technology more strategically, but we can accelerate that process.
In closing, Honorable Chair, the gap that we've identified on the information you need, we can provide that. But maybe another topic is, if you ask us to identify initiatives that could be scaled in the process as part of this additional resources that we're talking about, this is something that we can work over a period of
this year, maybe at an appropriate time to say this is how we see this initiative, where there is the expansion of the Moringa in maybe some of the communities, if it's things that relate to school. This is something that I think we can really start to put our thinking hat on and maybe provide the community with some editorial steps.
Thank you very much for all the questions, members, and all the answers. It was good, I think, very good. You also want to ask questions? Yeah, I'm going to give you an opportunity now. It doesn't close. Thank you, Honorable Sean.
Yes, thank you very much. Yeah, I know. I thank the fact that you're already doing some outreach programs in terms of the mobile funds. But I also just want to reaffirm that it's the practical, because you're doing the theoretical part and actually doing the practical part. So the Department of Education will have to have mobile funds that rotate, then teachers can work their programs out in such a way that they actually do that. And that's where I think that engagement is.
Thank you very much for that comment. DC, thank you. It was very much, as always, very interesting to listen to you people and learning every day more and more. And while I was sitting here and listening to you, I was thinking, do you have a program where you interact with the Rastas indigenous people? They really are seeing those products on the streets. The people buy those medicines, whatever. So maybe they would like to know and understand that there is now a bill that is coming where they can play part. I mean, it's part of developing and developing entrepreneurs and so on. But so that they also can understand, because I don't think they understand my place. I know where I was sitting. I always ask the department the thing of environmental, the space that they get a certain space they can apply where they can go and practice their traditions. They can go and get the things, the medicine that they are feeling about. But I mean, that is it. And people even here from Cape Town ask me to buy here in my area and bring whatever for him. But I don't know if it is. They fix me with that movie and with DJ, but I mean, that is, we must interact with those people that they can understand and bring their knowledge here. Thank you very much for everything and for the presentation and for the answers and for the information. We really appreciate it. Thank you for your time and this meeting. I'm not going to adjourn the meeting because the committee is not.